Welcome everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. I am Roy, AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Gene, KY2MY, will be your co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers as well as to promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages. Also, we offer original articles and reviews on many topics covered during these technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder and as a starting off point to discuss important technical concepts. Tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club website. The link can be found on the front page of our website in orange-colored type, but if you would like a simple URL to find it, you can just type puzzle.kc2rc.com. Also, we will be offering a streaming service to those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month. All of this information can also be found on our club website, www.kc2rc.com. Members, as well as non-members, are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. By the way, an application is, as always, available on our website. No question is too simple, no question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking a question. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your name, your call sign, and whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try my best to provide an answer, and Gene, KY2MY, will join in. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they will be free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest, please let us know either here or use our email address, tech@kc2rc.com. And now, I would like to introduce my co-host for this net, Gene, KY2MY. Good evening, Gene.
Good evening. Thank you, Roy. This is Gene, KY2MY. Good evening, everybody.
Gang, let's get this TechNet started. If anyone has any comments or any questions of a technical nature, feel free to hit that push-to-talk button. Give me your call sign and your first name, please.
Nav Control, with a question.
Please give me your call sign and your first name.
Call sign is KD2PUW, and my name is Jason.
Recognized. Anyone else want to put their name down for a question or a comment on the technical net tonight?
Kilo Delta 2, Mike Delta Victor, Eugene.
Being recognized, anyone else want to put their name down for any questions or comments tonight on the technical net?
Control. Net Control, this is Kilo Delta 2, Mike Lima Yankee Joe with a question.
Net Control. This is Kilo 2, Oscar Lima. He is supporting the net. No question.
Good. Anyone else want to give me your name and your call sign? This is primarily for questions or comments for the technical net tonight.
Control. Control, this is KD2MLY. Just curious if you received my transmission with a question.
Yeah, I did. You're on the list. Okay, let's start at the very top, and you never know, maybe someone else will pop in with a question. Jason, KD2PUW, what's your question for tonight?
All right. Good evening, everyone else listening. This is KD2PUW. So the question that I have is, I recently had the opportunity to operate with a few other folks, this was the first time I did this, and One thing I noticed was that there was we were getting some interference amongst each other. My question is this considered IMD or intermodulation distortion? And would a suitable solution, aside from driving miles apart from each other, would the solution be to either build or basically put in place a bandpass filter to filter out the interfering noise, I guess. This is KD2PW. Back over to you, Roy.
Very good, Jason. Well, it's not really IMD. IMD is more of a function internal to devices. You will, if you look at the specs of a lot of equipment, they will rate their intermodular distortion of the products inside the box itself. So IMD is primarily an internal phenomena. Yours would probably be more just generically called QRM, QR Mary instead of QR Nancy, which is more of a static type of a thing. There are things that you can, as you mentioned, bandpass filters are the method of choice on field days. And if different guys are transmitting at different bands, it makes it much easier to filter them out and not interfere with each other. So if you have one guy doing 80, another guy doing 40, another guy doing 20, another guy doing 15 and such, and you have some good bandpass filters, you can put people together relatively close without too much of a problem. When you're all operating on the same band, it becomes very problematic, and your best bet is to simply separate your antennas as much as humanly possible. There are higher Q filters that will work. I give you as an example, our repeater that we're operating on right now has a duplexer, which is basically a very high Q, capable of telling the difference between a 600 kilohertz difference in transmitting frequency. But as you go to the HF bands, the filters needed with that high a Q end up looking like a tow truck.
Yeah, Roy, that's very enlightening. Thank you very much.
Jason, if anyone else has any ideas or thoughts on the subject, please feel free to hit that push-to-talk button. Very well. We will move on to the next person with a question. Eugene, KD2MDV. What's your question tonight, Eugene? And by the way, Eugene, thank you very much for the holiday card. I did appreciate it.
Hey, Tim TV. Good evening, Roy, and everyone on the net. Roy, thanks. I'm glad you liked the card. My question tonight is about antennas. So let me just give a little introduction. I have an antenna mounted on my remote location, which serves for automatic packet station that's on 24/7 on VHF band. Now, I'm about to install a second antenna, which is going to go to another new radio that's going to be located there. And the antennas, I know to transmit on the same band, it should be separated with about one wavelength apart. So the first antenna is at one position, and the second one's going to be located about 4 feet horizontally apart and about 6 feet vertically apart from each other, base to base of the antenna. So with that regard, on VHF, I know it should be about 6 feet apart. Would it be safe to transmit with that clearance on the same band in regards to not damaging each transceiver? Back to you, Ray.
An important factor is how sensitive your front end is, if you have a preamplifier that's in line, and how much power you're planning to transmit with.
First radio is basic. It's an FTM-100. And the second one, I haven't decided yet, but it's going to be something similar to that. And the power is going to be anywhere from 5 to 20 watts at the most. So we're talking low power.
I would think that you're pretty safe. At low power like that, at the distances that you mentioned, modern equipment has pretty good front ends correction. You know, I mean, you'll have to experiment to see if you develop a desensing, which is a possibility. A long time ago, I have a setup where I'm transmitting on my Flex, and I'm receiving and recording on my ICOM 7100. And when I was transmitting something like 12 watts, everything was fine. When I, for some odd reason, had it set for something like 30 watts, I was desensing the front end of my 7100, and I was getting a very noisy signal every time I was listening to myself. Other people would be noise-free, but when I transmitted, the front end of the 7100 would desense, and the noise figures would go up. So, depending upon the radios, you might experience some desensing, but otherwise, I don't think you're going to burn out any circuits this way. So, it should be fine.
Plus, in addition, this is going to be something that may or may not occur, you know, just every once in a while, because typically I know the status of the packet station, whether it's transmitting and, you know, what's going on with it, so I can pretty much monitor. So we're talking, you know, maybe once every, I don't know, couple of weeks, it would be a transmission while, you know, on transmission on a packet station while the VHF is tuned in on the other station. So this is very moderate. So I'm pretty sure I would be safe. I just wanted to make sure that such clearance is okay for occasional transmission on a very low power.
Gene, I think you're safe. I just wanted to cover all possible side effects of nearby broadcasting. And not, you know, it isn't only blowing up a receiver. It can undermine slightly the sensitivity of the other receiver. But that shouldn't be a problem the way that you describe it. So I see no problem with your setup.
Thank you very much for your answer, Roy. KD2MDV, back to you.
Gene, if anyone has any further questions or comments about that subject that we discussed, please feel free to hit the push-to-talk button. We'll move on to our third question. Joe, KD2MLY, what's your question for tonight?
Good evening, Roy. My question regarding ferrite cores and ferrite beads, mix 31 and mix 43, could they be used simultaneously on the same cable, or also be used simultaneously when building a choke, or should they be used separately? Back to you.
I haven't really read too much of that question. I would probably stick with one mix consistently. 31 is an excellent choice for amateur radio operators. It's the HF band, and you shouldn't have a problem. If you want to try out other mixes, you know, it's 31 probably is the go-to mix, and I would probably stick with one.
Okay, thank you.
Joe, if anyone else has any other opinions or thoughts on the matter, please feel free hit that push-to-talk button. Very well. Does anyone else have any other questions or comments for the technical net tonight? Someone who came by a little on the late side or just thought of a question. Feel free, hit that push-to-talk button. Give me your first name and your call sign. Okay, very well. I guess I shouldn't answer questions as quickly as I do. I should slow it down to 33 and a third. Well, we can address the regular TechNet puzzle for tonight. The question is posted on the website, And basically it says to receive a CW signal, a suitable bandwidth for the IF filter would be, and then it offers you four different bandwidths that you can theoretically adjust when trying to receive a continuous wave Morse code signal. Choice A is 25 hertz, choice B is 250 hertz, choice C is 2.5 kilohertz, and choice D is 25 kilohertz. So anyone feel inclined to play the TechNet puzzle tonight? It's not a difficult one.
Kitty 2MOI with a possible answer.
Joe, please.
Well, this is strictly a guess based off the CW that I've learned and I guess explored with the radio but I'm gonna go with A, 25 hertz.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Does anyone else have any thoughts on the subject? Anyone else have any kind of thoughts on this? At all?
UPW.
Jason.
Just thinking through this, I know that I know you can get away with a 500 hertz filter, and I think that's at least on my receiver, that's the max that I can go, and I can only shrink from there. So I'm going to go with B, 250 hertz.
Very good, Jason. It's 250 hertz. The way that this works is that when you modulate any kind of a carrier, you develop side frequencies. You see that a lot with AM transmissions produce sidebands on either side. FM produces sidebands of a kind, and so does CW. If you constantly played CW without any interruptions, if it had zero information, then a 25 hertz filter would suffice. But since you're transmitting information, and the rate of the information determines the bandwidth, you tend to need to open it up to about either 250 or as you mentioned, Jason, 500, in order to get the transitions of off and on that produce the bandwidth. It's not a narrow signal, unfortunately. It's a broad-based signal, depending upon the amount of information, the symbol rate, some people call it. Obviously, single sideband has a signal rate sufficient to require at least 2 kilohertz bandpass. Some people go for 3, 3.5. FM has a much wider bandpass because it has a much greater modulation range. So the answer for CW would be 250. The answer, if it was a single sideband signal, would probably best be answered by 2.5 kilohertz, and if it was a standard FM modulation on a repeater, 25 kilohertz. Anyone with any questions or comments about that particular puzzle question?
UW with a comment.
Free, comment away.
I've been kind of experimenting, learning CW and trying to copy CW on 20 meters, and I've been playing with the filters, and I noticed that if I bring it down to maybe less than 50 hertz, I really have trouble copying the signal. That's how I came to the conclusion that 25 hertz would not be the answer, and it was more likely 250 hertz. So. Hope that helps somebody that's been kind of thinking on this.
Very good, Jason. Yeah, I mean, as I said, the slower a person sends, theoretically you could get away with a narrower and narrower filter. So if a person sends zero information, you barely need a bandwidth. The problem that you probably noticed also, in addition to difficulty in copying, it probably is relative to the speed of the Morse code sender. Did you notice any difference in the rate of speed making any difference in readability?
Not so much, only because it seemed like people were averaging about 30 words a minute or so. So I didn't really notice it at the time.
Because it's interesting, if you see the waveform, you know, Morse code, we kind of think that they're dits and dahs. They're basically, I think most people's imagination is that they're almost square waves. And you shouldn't be transmitting square waves because square waves resolve into a lot of harmonics, actually. So if you ever look on a scope of a Morse code signal, you'll see that it's a somewhat gentle sloping up and sloping down so that there are less harmonics generated. And even in that action, it's not so much harmonics, but sideband frequencies that widen the bandwidth of the transmission. So, yeah, 250, 500 hertz, those are nice numbers for CW. Try and listen to a phone with a bandwidth of 250 hertz, and it'll sound awful. So each mode has its own preferred bandwidth. In the old days, a lot of them were hardwired. You had to unplug things and plug things into other things. Nowadays, with digital signal processing and such, it's getting easier and easier to just kind of twirl a knob and set a bandwidth. Any other comments or questions on this subject? Does anyone else have any questions or comments for the technical net tonight? Otherwise, we'll have one of our shorter episodes, but, the length of our TechNets either expand or contract accordingly. So if anyone has any further questions or comments or topics that they'd like to bring up on the technical net, please feel free to push that push to talk button. Please ID.
Ed, Charlie Alpha Tango. And my call sign is AC2XV Alpha Charlie 2XV Victor. I have a question.
What's your question tonight?
I'd like to know which would be a good toroid core for a 9-to-1 on for a random wire HF antenna.
Well, the ferrite material, as I think I said earlier, the most common mix that I've seen people use is 31. It's a pretty good range of permeability and saturation for the HF frequencies. You're gonna wind your own balun? Very good. Where did you get the design for it? Did you get it out of a magazine article, or did you get it out of? There was a ham who was a real pro when it came to designing balans. He literally wrote the book on it, and I believe Balun Designs uses most of his designs for their commercial products.
Article I've seen, it's a balloon with a trifilar winding, and it has 160-2 core. So as far as I know, that's an iron powder core, and it's not as efficient for HF. I cannot get the 3.5 megahertz VSWR to get low enough. It's usually up more than 3 point something SWR.
But again, was it a magazine article or was it a book that you got this design out of?
It was a magazine article, yes.
Okay, very good. I mean, as I said, there's a book that I think CQ magazine sells to this day. He's passed on, but all of his material and such is still very useful. I think his name is Sivik. It's a Ballin design book. You might be interested in picking a copy up of that.
I was trying to make sure I have the right the core. So probably I'm going to order some different cores and try different designs and see which one works. As far as for the diameter, do you think 250 will work for 100 watts?
I would think so. You might want to contact, there's a few places that actually sell ferrites that I know of. Palomar sells a lot of ferrites. You might kind of send them an email and ask them a couple of questions. They tend to like, I think it's Palomar Labs is their title.
To buy ferrite from them, yes.
I mean, they've had a lot of experience with that, so they might give you more advice about the type and the power handling capacity of different types of mixes.
This is AC2XB. Thank you so much for the information. And back to that.
You're very welcome. Anyone else with any questions or comments or anything to say on the technical net tonight?
KD2MLY. Roy, could you come back with the name of the company that sells the ferrite cores? Was it Palomar, did you say?
Palomar, like the observatory, Palomar, Palomar. I believe it's Palomar Laboratories.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Generally speaking, there are a lot of different sites to get rights. I would stay away from places like eBay and Chinese manufacturers because you never quite know when they'll get the mix right, and you'll only figure it out when you've burnt out a choke or a ballon or something. So I would stick with legitimate companies in the United States. DX Engineering sells some. There's other places. But the Palomar Labs kind of specialize in this field, and they're more open to asking email questions about things.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
Welcome, Joe. Well, once again, this is AC2GS with the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net, and we're open for questions if anyone has any questions or comments or topics or anything that they would like to discuss on this Technical Net tonight. Okay, very well, gentlemen. This has been a short episode. Perhaps next time we'll have a little bit longer one. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL-affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York. We meet on the first Wednesday of each month. Our next meeting will be February 6th, sometime after 7:30 p.m. We offer a pre-meeting technical question and answer session, much like this net, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. as time allows. We have a weekly 2-meter club net on every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on this repeater, as well as a 10-meter net every Sunday at 11 a.m. on 28.380 megahertz upper sideband. This net meets on the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month at 9 p.m. We have a weekly net featuring Yaesu's Fusion Digital Technology every Thursday at 9 p.m. on our club repeater, KC2RC. If you can communicate using Fusion technology, please join in. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it, when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, an application is available on our website. If you would like to contact the hosts of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com. which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website services were generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, 3Alien Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. So, as the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen more and talk a little less. It's time to roll this all up and shut this all down for now, but we'll be back to do it all over again on February 13th, and you're welcome to join us. Thanks to all the people that participated tonight, and especially to Gene, KY2MY. Without you guys, I would just be talking to myself. This is Roy, AC2GS, going clear and getting the heck out of here. Until next time, guys, stay warm.
Roy, AC2GS, this is Gene, Q Yankee 2, Mike Yankee, also signing out.